In your will are all things, O Lord. There is none that can resist your will. For you have made all things, heaven and earth, and all things that are under the cope of heaven. You are Lord of all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In exile in the capital of Persia, in the 5th century before the coming of our blessed Savior Jesus Christ, Mordecai, a Hebrew in the Persian court, refused to worship a man as though he were God. This man, by the name of Haman, a powerful man in the Persian Empire, now in retaliation, has succeeded in having a decree published throughout that same empire that will lead to the destruction of the Jewish people. Mordecai hears this devastating news, learns of the mortal threat to the chosen people, and the very first thing he does is humble himself before God and speak the words of today's introit, which I have just quoted. This 21st Sunday after Pentecost possesses a beautiful and straightforward gospel about which we have spoken in previous years. This year, I would like to meditate with you upon the overwhelming notes of sadness in other texts of this Holy Mass. Two figures present themselves to us for our meditation: Mordecai from the Book of Esther and the holy suffering man Job. Mordecai speaks to God in the introit, while the offertory speaks to us of Job. In the text we have already quoted from Mordecai, we see his fidelity in the midst of abandonment, impending destruction and desolation. His people are about to be destroyed, but you will not find in his words questioning or reproach towards God, no notes of despair or confusion. No, the prayer that leaves Mordecai's lips is one of adoration, one of trust. Here we have, says Blessed Cardinal Schuster, a profound lesson of the true nature of the history of the Church. There is no persecution so fierce, no scandal so dark, no error so pernicious, no loss so great, that it could ever, by even a single degree, diminish God's loving plan for his holy bride, our mother, our teacher, the Roman Catholic Church. We, as a people set apart for God, by God, have faced countless persecutions. In our own personal lives, we have suffered to different degrees for the truths of our Catholic faith. We have perhaps been disregarded and misunderstood for our attachment to this Holy Mass, to the Church's traditional forms of worship. But all that we could possibly suffer for the name of Christ can only serve his holy name if we bear it with love and humble trust. St. Paul reminded Timothy and us that we must be clear-eyed, that the path to Christian salvation runs inevitably through the cross. The Apostle reminds Timothy, therefore, that all who would serve Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. What then of the darkest moments of our salvation history, both for the chosen people who preceded us in faith and in the history of Holy Mother Church? The sacred author of the Book of Maccabees provides us the key. Referring to the great persecutions the Jews suffered at the hands of the Greeks, he says, "Now I urge those who read this book not to be depressed by such calamities, but to recognize that these punishments were designed not to destroy, but to discipline our people." The Jews at that time suffered unspeakable tortures for refusing to abandon the worship of the one true God. The temple was defiled in ways not fit to repeat in this sacred assembly. And yet, with divine charity burning in his heart and faith giving light to his mind, the sacred author speaks to us as though he would say, Bear no illusion. We provoked these calamities by our sins, but our enemies will not win. The people of God will emerge stronger, holier, and greater, honed by the attacks of our enemies, permitted by God for our good. So with the Maccabees, so with us. Likewise, the Archangel Saint Raphael says to Tobias, after his many and great trials, that, quote, because you were acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove you. Both in the history of the Church and the history of our personal lives, it has always been necessary that temptation find us. God is pleased to permit desolations to enter our lives that we might have occasions to turn to the help of His mercy alone. We might feel the loss of the presence of family and friends, or merely the loss of particular comforts. We might feel our strength leave us, either physical or moral. As we advance towards Christian holiness, it becomes more and more necessary that we feel how fleeting this life is, how small its comforts, how illusory its joys. This very realization is a gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of knowledge, infused and activated by that same Holy Ghost. He has invigorated this very gift in the souls of 18 of our young people yesterday in the Sacrament of Confirmation. Let us pray that He pour out that same gift once more in each of our souls today. We pray for the knowledge of the true worth of this life and the true worth of the life to come that we celebrated yesterday in all of the saints, the same life that we wish without shadow for all of the souls of the faithful departed in this month consecrated to their relief and rest. When the burden of our duties and our own weakness press heavy upon us, when we see how little this world can truly satisfy us, when the hand of divine providence not only withdraws His strength, but strikes us, taking our loved ones, our possessions, and even our health, where may we turn? All that remains of one of the most remarkable chants of our Latin tradition has been reduced into the antiphon of today's offertory at this Holy Mass. It was once much longer and very beautiful. All that remains, as I said, is today's offertory antiphon, in which the sacred author of the Book of Job tells us that, quote, there was a man in the land of Hus whose name was Job, simple and upright and fearing God, whom Satan besought that he might tempt, and power was given him from the Lord over his possessions and his flesh, and he destroyed all his substance and his children, and wounded his flesh also with a grievous ulcer. But that once longer, beautiful, sacred chant that gave this antiphon such great beauty in the past also gave voice to the suffering holy man himself. In the original offertory antiphon, Job responds, saying, for what is, for what is, for what is my strength to bear them? Or when will my end come, that I may act with patience? He laments his sufferings and his own weakness. With every repetition, the chant becomes more plaintive and insistent. Job sombers in sadness. He has lost everything but his life. And from the depth of his weakness, he ends by uttering this pitiful cry in the chant, because my eye will no longer see happiness. And he continues several times more. Each iteration of the word happiness is sharper and sadder than the last in the Church's sacred music. Our Holy Mother Church sees in the person of Job our own weakness and frailty. This antiphon, is an offertory antiphon. And so she carries us, her children, like Job, broken and sinful, to the altar of her divine bridegroom, our Lord. What happiness can we hope for, feeling the weight of the world, the strength of our enemies, the gravity of our sins? Who will stand up to the divine justice for us as our lives are held in the balance? Who will answer the voice of Satan? Who will take these burdens upon himself? This is an offertory antiphon. And Job himself will give us the answer in the 19th chapter of his book when he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold him and no other." Dear friends, these words are from Job, but these words are for us. In but a few moments, God the Son will descend upon this sacred altar. He who alone can bear the fullness of our sorrow, he alone who gives meaning to our suffering, he who alone is our victory in our salvation, Christ our Eucharistic King. God is indeed faithful, and he will not deny his grace to the cry of the humble, but will deliver us from all the snares of our enemies, as we beg him do in the communion antiphon. Our very eyes, and no other, will see our Redeemer, the Son of Justice, rising above the priest, held aloft by his consecrated hands. Bring your burdens to him. Let him carry you. Let him be glorified in your loving abandonment to him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen.